Critically Chaotic is a rowdy Dungeons & Dragons podcast that consists of adult themes and humor. Content warnings for this episode can be found in the episode description, as well as a link to transcripts. Let us meet the party whose adventures we will be following.
Hello, I'm Kian, aka your designated boy, and I use he, him pronouns. My character Carius, a tiefling druid who is just trying his best, also uses he, him.
Hi, I'm Salem. I go by she, her pronouns, and I play Leaf, who goes by he, they. Leaf is a cunning tiefling warlock on the run from his own bad decisions.
Hey, I'm Bean, also known as Alexa. I use she, they pronouns, and I play the character Snow. Snow is an Asimar cleric and is known for her ability to guide us all in the sometimes right direction.
Hey, I'm Queen. I go by she, her pronouns. My character is Mogan, and he goes by he, him. He is a barbarian half-orc who may be tall and brooding, but will love and protect his people.
Hey yo, I'm Alex, your classic chaotic queer mess, and I use she, they pronouns. I play a high elf warlock named Vey, she, her pronouns, who makes terrible decisions during session and behind the scenes that definitely won't come back to bite us in the ass.
Howdy y'all, I'm Lady, aka Lady, and I use she, her pronouns. I play, and am frequently played by, Jerome, a half-elf rogue with a love of playing the odds and a chronic inability to shut the fuck up.
Please be aware that due to technical difficulties during recording, the audio quality for the first few episodes will be less than ideal, but the audio quality will improve. Rest, weary traveler, and enjoy. In the land of Neglitus in Petersboro, there was a job that was posted by a select noble family who asked for a group of adventurers to accompany a caravan because they were going to be going on a trip to Wellspring within the country of Ushidal. For this 3-day trip, a select few people were chosen for the job. These 6 adventurers are the 6 of you that sit before me. Your 6 characters have yet to meet. It is now the day of the trip, and 2 of you have already arrived at the agreed-upon location, that being Vey, an elven woman with stark white hair and long nails, and Snow, another elven-looking woman with equally bright white hair and black face tattoos. The 2 of you are speaking together softly when 2 tieflings approach.
Okay, so Leaf and Carius, 2 tieflings, kind of nonchalantly stroll up together. They clearly are friends and have been for a while. They're just casually talking to each other in Infernal. Leaf is a green tiefling with green hair. I'm wearing leather armor and kind of a coat that's long and reaches my knees. I have a quarterstaff slung on my back. I have one horn that's kind of taller than the other. They both curve inwards. And I've decorated myself with some jewelry, probably fake, but looking cool nonetheless.
I'm a dark purple for my skin, and then I have like dark black hair that almost kind of looks bluish. And then it's got shaved on the sides and it's held back in a braid. And like long curved horns, extra clothing, just a bit, with lots of little accessories, and some leather armor as well. I have a scimitar strapped into a belt and tattoos. and yeah.
Do you guys like walk up to us, or are you just sort of staying back for now?
We'd probably walk up just the.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we would take a second to finish our conversation, and then we would notice you guys waiting in the spot that we all were supposed to meet up at, so we approach.
Hello. How are you? I see we have 2 tieflings.
Yes. Are you here for the same job that we are here for?
Yeah. My companion and I here are, we're coming to help this family. I assume this is the job that you speak of.
I'd be willing to bet.
Cool.
How did you guys hear of this job?
How would we have heard of the job, Zan? Do you have any idea? Or does it not matter?
It doesn't really matter. Like, you could have heard it in a tavern. You could have actively sought it out. You could have gone to a guild hall to inquire about any posted jobs.
Hmm. Yeah, my friend and I typically work quite a few odd jobs to make some extra money, so we were asking around in a tavern and thought that this job would be perfect. What about you?
Pretty much the exact same thing. We've been doing this sort of traveling for a little bit, and this is just the same old kind of job, you know?
May
what
I
are
ask
your... Ah, my name is Vay.
And I'm Snow.
And I am Karis.
I'm Leaf.
Well, I hold up my hand for somebody to shake. May I ask what your specialties are?
I'm a druid by trade.
Ah. Oh.
What's my knight? I can be your lover.
We all hear in our heads, God.
The narrator from above just trying to seduce all the player characters.
How about you, Leaf?
I do magic.
Same here. We seem to have the same quarterstaff, so...
Wait, really?
Yeah, we both have quarterstaffs.
Oh my god.
You both got it from the same sorcerer shop. Yeah.
Just missed
just
each other.
Just went to Wizard Costco and
yep.
It was on sale.
Wow, like... twinsies.
Oh my god. We already have so much in common.
Oh my god.
Wow.
I am a cleric by trade.
But by night, I can be your...
Oh my God. God, please. Why
I can be what you want tonight.
Whatever you desire. Well, I'll sort of scan the tops of everyone's heads just to see if there's anybody else approaching now that the conversation's kind of slowed down.
And with that, you will see a freakishly tall gentleman. Not gentleman. Horrible, horrible human.
Ungentle man.
You will see a 6'2" barbarian half-orc approaching. The worst scowl on his face. Just wants nothing to do with you all. So he has long brown hair. It's very wavy and it's held up in like a half braid. He has a scar next to his right eye. He has, so in his back, like backpack thingy, he has his halberd. And then two axes in his belts on either side of him. He's always scowling, and then he has one of his hands on his axe as he approaches. He sees the small group and just, in a sense, assumes, but goes nowhere near you guys. He just kind of looks and stands there. What's nothing to do with you?
I see the stranger approach, and I kind of wave over at him and call out, hello, are you part of our caravan?
Yeah, I guess so. You guys are transporting a family?
Yeah, we are. We all just met up here. I'm Snow. What's your name?
Why do you need to know that?
Well, I'd assume we're going to be traveling for a while, so it'd be nice to at least know each other's names, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I guess. The name's Mogan.
Nice to meet you.
And yours was Snow?
Yeah, Snow.
Interesting.
Thank you. This is my traveling companion and friend, Vay, and this is Leaf and Carius. We just met.
Hello, my cheery fellow.
Leaf waves. Leaf waves and gives kind of like a teasing smile, like haha, you're stuck with this.
Vay sort of like looks over to Mogan and just immediately kind of turns to the new people that have joined us and like hand against my mouth. I'm like, this gentleman seems kind of unpleasant already. I'm not, you know, let's see how this goes. But I don't say anything to Mogan.
I think Leaf would be like, well, you're right, but he looks strong at least. It'll help us get the job done.
Is this our whole party here?
With no. That statement, you see a guy casually sauntering up the road, wearing just some pretty travel-worn clothes. He's got on, like, a brown, dirtied cloak that's fraying at the edges. And it's actually covering up a lot of what he's carrying. But you can see hints of, like, a rapier and some, like, just brown, very, very casual sort of clothes that you would expect from a traveler, along with some leather armor. This half-elf man stands at about 5'10", 5'11", something like that. He hasn't checked in a while. With kind of greasy black hair slicked back into a low ponytail that goes down to about his shoulder blades. He's sauntering over very casually with a wide grin on his face, flipping a coin. And he looks like a normal human, except... with pointed ears, just very slightly pointed, and bright golden eyes. And as he saunters up, he looks at the party and he's like, "Well, I appear to be fashionably late, huh? Got the whole cram box assembled. Is this everybody?"
"Appears so."
"Nice, nice. I hate waiting. I always show up fashionably late to avoid it. Name's Jerome. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm assuming that you have business here with the family that contracted us."
"Yes, indeed."
"Fantastic, fantastic. That's wonderful to hear. Oh boy, there's a lot more people than I'm used to working with, and I am nervous. It is great to meet y'all. I think I said my name already. It's Jerome. Don't wear it out. Feel free to wear it out. I'm... People, oh boy."
"Yeah, you seem a little flustered, Jerome."
"Yeah, no, I usually work these jobs alone, so it'll be an interesting experience to be working with y'all."
"So is this the premise? We need to get going. Get this shit over with."
"Right, right, right. You're right. You're right. Thank you very much." "You're right. For, what's your name? I didn't catch it." "All right, I see how it's going. I'll just call you Big Guy. Is that cool with you?"
"Oh, Jerome, regardless, we're happy to have you with us. I'm Snow, by the way."
"Pleasure to meet you, Snow. You look the part. Got the whole desaturated aesthetic going. I like it.
It's monochrome, yes, monochrome.
It's great. It's great. I'm more of a browns and blacks kind of guy myself, but you work it.
I appreciate it.
I'm Carius, my fine friend, and this is my friend Leaf."
"Ah, Carius and Leaf, the good old green and purple. I see the aesthetics are matching. They're very good, very good. Love the horns. Love what you've done with them. They're just lovely."
Thank you.
"I make sure to shine them every day."
"I can tell. They got that whole, I can barely look at them with how much the light is shining into my eyes. It's great."
"You're very kind, Jerome."
"Oh, thank you, thank you. I like to make a little bit of happiness in the world, you know? Not enough happiness in the world. Gotta make sure people know they're great, you know?"
"Well, it's quite appreciated. It's good to have a happy face."
"Always happy to be of service. Hey, would you like a coin?" I hold out Jerome holds out a coin towards anybody.
Just offers it to the circle.
Just, like, wildly flailing the coin back and forth between everyone.
Holds it straight up.
It's there for anybody to take. He's visibly kind of nervous, but like he's trying.
I'll reach out and I'll grab you, like, "And my name is Vay."
"Well, Vay," he covers your hand reaching for the coin with his own hand. "It's a real pleasure to meet you. And I would like to roll a sleight of hand check to try and get the coin out of Vay's reach while Vay thinks they have the coin."
Okay, Lady, roll sleight of hand, and then Alex, roll opposing perception.
All right. So I rolled a 12 plus 7, so 19.
I rolled a 13.
All right, so Jerome successfully manages to snatch that coin back while giving the handshake, even though Vay thinks that she has it securely in her other hand.
Can I do an insight check on Jerome?
Yeah, go for it.
Do I have to roll a pose? Right.
No, insight is just to try to figure out like what you're all about.
Yeah, I got a 16.
It's a vibe check.
Jerome's vibes are not that sour. They're like a little tangy, you know?
Got it.
A little bit of mold on the side.
No, not even like mold tangy, just like a new flavor kind of tangy, you know? So like
very unique.
Yeah, so like not bad, just like
okay. Different. Just eccentric.
Yes.
I got it. Sour.
Right. I'm like off-brand Sprite, you know?
I look at Vay and I kind of quickly say something in Celestial and just leave it at that.
I sort of like, as Jerome kind of grabbed my hand as doing the coin, even though I still think it's in my hand, I kind of like wipe my hand, sort of like
kind of hidden
after like, and then it just like give you like a smile, you know, one of those smiles and like closed lip, and I like wipe my hands kind of off to the side.
Jerome notices and is not even remotely offended. He gets it.
That's so funny.
While this is all going on, Mogan kind of just huffs and he's like, these people are ridiculous. He's very brutal.
Just a very broody man.
Yep. Yes. I wonder if he knows we are directly next to him and can hear him within earshot. Within earshot.
I fully heard that.
He's also stupid, so.
Okay. So Jerome makes an aside to whoever might be listening, maybe to just himself. Man, what's up with tall, dark, and broody over there?
I just kind of make eye contact with Jerome and just nod a little bit in understanding.
All this quiet communication going on all around you.
A lot of gossip happening, guys.
We're just a very gossipy team.
Oh, no.
That's going to end in disaster real fast.
Yeah.
So while you all are making your acquaintanceship, And Jerome goes, well, look at this tall, dark, and broody over here, am I right? That is when you hear the sound, the clip-clop of horse hooves approaching, and when you all turn towards the main street, you see a carriage being pulled by two pristine white horses pull to the front with a driver and two guards walking alongside. One of the guards opens up the door of the carriage and a tall human man steps out. He doesn't get off of the carriage. He like, there's like the two steps leading down onto the street and he just kind of stands on the bottom step, but not on the street. And he is dressed in very lavish clothing with his hair pushed back over his head. And if you look into the car, you can see another woman about his age looking out the window to the other side of the street while holding a young child in her lap who just seems very distracted by everything happening outside of the caravan, or outside of the carriage. But the man looks to you all and he nods and he says, yes, hello. Are you all here for the caravan job? Half-orc, yes. Elves, yes. Tieflings, yes. Whatever you are, yes. Okay, you all are here. So let's get a move on. We need to be there within 3 days. I expect this to be a very clean mission. I will pay you once we get there safe and sound. Does that sound swell? Wonderful. I hope you all have made your arrangements. Now, let's go. And he steps back into his carriage. The guard closes the door and the carriage begins to move, expecting you all to keep up.
Yeah, kind of look at everyone and just like run after the carriage.
I'll sort of like walk up beside one of the guards and sort of like try and engage him in conversation a bit.
Okay.
As Karis like goes to follow, he's like had a very casual smile on most of this interaction, but now he's like, he kind of rolls his eyes and is like, seems really annoyed at the guy, but he follows after Leaf, kind of trails nearby.
Yeah, and I think Leaf in Infernal will whisper to Carrie, he's like, maybe we should let him get hit just a little.
Just A little bit. She's like, humble him. Yeah, seems like he could need it.
Jerome runs up to the moving carriage and does his best to climb on top to have a good vantage point and also not have to walk.
It's always hard to decide if athletics or acrobatics would be better for something like this.
What if I do it back with flip. A dramatic flourish?
Yeah. If you do it with a dramatic flourish, then roll acrobatics. You have right. to. You're going to try. You're going to try to like flip your way onto the top of the carriage.
So Jerome does a little bit of a running start, and with a dramatic flourish and a dirty 20, he does a front handspring way up high into the air and sticks the landing perfectly on top of the moving carriage.
Does he do the gymnast like arms up thing at the end?
He does. Beautiful. And he does little bows to his audience of his fellow caravaneers and the guards and is just like, thank you.
After doing his little bow, the driver of the carriage looks back and is like, oi! Oh, get off the carriage! What the fuck are you doing? This is very expensive. You're gonna get it all dirty with your fucking mud. Get off of the carriage.
No, it's okay.
Get off of the carriage.
Sir. You look like a Jerry. I'm gonna call you Jerry. My name's Jerry.
He stands up. The horses like keep going. They're very nicely trained. But he stands up and he turns towards you and he's like, "Get off of the fucking carriage."
No, listen, it's for vantage point. It's for
he climbs
point.
He and climbs up onto the carriage. The horses are still driving. And if you don't get off, he's going to try to throw you off of the carriage.
No. Yeesh, tough crowd. And Jerome hops off the top. That's reluctantly trudging along with the others.
The driver like huffs and like does the whole like thing with his hands and like gets back into a seat and he's like grumbling and looks very annoyed at you.
Leaf gives like a little applause for the whole fiasco.
Paris is joining in 100%.
Snow just kind of shakes her head.
At least I get some respect from my performance. Goodness.
I just want to say that Morgan is the farthest behind, but he's keeping up perfectly fine. He's just by himself.
He's brooding.
Mm-hmm. He's brooding.
As he does.
As far away from you, but as close to the carriage as possible. No, he's kind of like thinking to himself, but it looks odd. We'll call it that.
Wow. You can visibly see the gears turning.
Yeah. Exactly. Takes one psychic damage from thinking.
Oh my god.
Can I try and talk to like the noble guy?
Like in the carriage?
Yeah, like I'm like outside the carriage walking beside it. I want to kind of talk to him.
Yeah, sure thing. The carriage doesn't actually have like glass windows. They're like the open kind of windows to get the fresh air in, so.
So, sir, why did you need to hire us?
Oh, we often have run-ins with, bandits who see my wonderful wares and just think that they can steal whatever they want for themselves. It has happened to me, it's happened to my father, and my father's father, and my father's father's father, and my father's 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 father. So we thought that we would hire some extra assistance between getting to the different cities.
Of course. And why are you traveling again? I don't recall if you mentioned.
Oh, well, you see, I have to go and look at one of the various fisheries that I own.
Why did your wife and child come along? Would it not be safer for them to stay at home?
Oh, we came here originally on a trip. You see, we're actually from... I'm originally from Whiteview, you see, and we've been taking a small vacation and going to all of these trips that I have to see, because I always say that family is the most important thing.
Oh, I've been to Whiteview with my companion. That's quite interesting.
Oh, yes, it's a very beautiful place, isn't it?
Yes, it quite is. What led you out here from Whiteview?
As I said, I'm investigating and double-checking with all of my fisheries that I own around Ushlal.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, that's fascinating. Well, thank you for giving us this opportunity.
Yes, of course.
What's your family name, by the way?
Falls. Hello, yes, it is a pleasure to meet you. I'm Maxirian Falls. This is my wife, Valerie, and then my little son, Sam. And the little kid just kind of, like, looks over at Snow and, like, grins at you all wide and then looks back out the window.
Oh, that's so cute. Sweet. Yes, he's very cute. I guess I just kind of look around and I'm like, all right, cool. That was good. And just kind of fall back a little bit away from the window of the carriage.
I'll walk beside Snow now and just sort of, we'll go side by side.
Jerome approaches the two tieflings who both seem to have a really good flair for fashion, which he can appreciate, and just starts making light conversation with them.
As you approach the edge of the city, that is when the guards split off from the caravan, and you head on out into the path that leads out towards the forest. So now it is just your party, and then the driver and the family within the carriage. So there, you no longer have the other guards.
Is there a spot beside the driver that's open?
Yes.
I will walk up alongside the driver and look up to him. Hi. What is your name?
Oi, nice to meet you. My name's Liara.
Liara, how did you come to get to this job?
I like horses, and I like driving, and I wanted to always see different places, but you know, I don't really have the money to go traveling myself, and so what am I to do? Well, I guess I'll be a driver for them rich folks that have the money to take me different places, because even though it's not always where I want to go, at least I can then go and do it.
What's the coolest place that you've been?
The coolest place that I've been, well, you know, there was this one time. So they do fisheries, right? They do these fisheries. But you see, Ushadal isn't exactly the best fishing place. That's Ethos. Why they decided to open up a fishery place on the other side of the fucking continent, I don't know. But there was this one time that we had to travel all the way to Ethos. And, you know, that was a pain in my tush, I'm telling you. Because we had to go all the way up into Adria, right? We had to go all the way there. That was so many days worth of traveling going through. We had to get to the border. And when we get to the border, then we have to go through all the passports. We got to say, I am a citizen.
Blah, blah, blah.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And it's such a fucking pain. But, you know, we get through there. But then once you get through Adria, then it's still several days of travel. You got to go through that fucking little mountain ravine between the rural area of Adria and the actual good part of Adria. And let me say, that place, I wouldn't want to live there. It's always so loud no matter where you go once you get past that mountain ravine.
Yeah.
But once we got to the northern area.
Can I interject real quick?
What?
It's sort of difficult for me to hear you walking alongside this carriage wheel. It's kind of rickety and loud. Would I perhaps be able to sit next to you so I can actually properly engage you in conversation, sir?
Yeah, sure. All right. Come on up here.
Thank you so much. I'll climb in beside him and keep listening to his stories while kind of giving nonchalant, I'm not even actually listening, I'm just nonchalantly saying, oh, that must be so hard. Oh, yeah? Oh.
And he is just going along with it.
Yep.
When Vay moves up there, Snow kind of sidles up to where Vay was in front of the wheel, just so I can kind of listen to what's going on and hear the stories.
Sounds good, sounds good.
I would like to take advantage of the distraction that Vay is providing with the driver and try to sneakily make my way back up on top of the carriage without all the grandstanding and flair.
All right, then roll stealth for me.
All right. So that's 17 plus 3, so 20.
All right, let me... There he is.
Unnatural 20. Dirty 20.
Dirty
20. Wait, can I get advantage or have him get disadvantage because he's distracted with talking to Vay?
He'll have disadvantage.
When Jerome starts going up, can I just like interject more and then start like telling my stories about cool things just to like engage him a little bit more?
Sure thing, sure thing.
Yeah.
Alright, so he'll have disadvantage. Let's see. Oh yeah, that's a 1. Okay, so yeah, he is fully immersed. Yes! He is no longer driving the carriage. The horses are driving themselves. He's more of like just a showman with these horses because he's like hands are off the reins. He's like leaned back, focused on Vay, just spouting out stories.
Yeah, as he's doing that, can I just sort of like hidden, kind of like raise my hand for like a high five with Jerome? This is like a win.
Jerome absolutely subtly returns the high five,
hell yes,
giving a bright grin to Vay. Like,
roll sleight of hand to see if he notices the high five.
Me?
Okay. Yeah. Because he doesn't notice Jerome at all, so Jerome does not need to roll, but Vay, he's like focused on because he's not even driving at this point.
That's a natural 20.
All right, let's see if he gets a natural 20.
God damn.
Oops.
The chaos begins.
There's nat 20 for a high five.
Yep. Woo! You are perfectly subtle. He does not, his gaze does not even like start to go towards your hand.
Yes. They're all encapsulated in my beautiful sapphire colored eyes.
Yes.
I just know that Leaf is trying really hard not to laugh loudly. He's watching the whole thing.
You all continue along your way, and everything is pretty chill. Nothing really comes up. You pass by a couple of people that were on their way into Petersboro, but otherwise you don't really come across anything of interest.
Does the carriage have windows?
It does have, like, windows, but there's no glass on it, so it's just open.
Okay. So, Jerome is, when he's not, like, busy looking out over everything, just keeping an eye on things, he is peeking his head down over the side of the carriage just a little bit, and trying to entertain the kid in there, like, giving little waves, doing little card tricks, and just, like, very quietly trying to keep the kid entertained and distracted and hope that the parents don't notice.
Roll stealth if you are trying to, like, pop out every time that the parents, like, kind of look out the window.
18.
Neither of them seem to notice you, or if they do, they don't say anything about it.
Yay!
But the kid seems thoroughly entertained by your little tricks that you do every so often, and he often, like, goes to the window and, like, half leans his head out to kind of look at you every time they have to, like, pop away for the parents to not notice you. Okay, so it is nearing nightfall. There's still, it's not quite nighttime yet, but it's getting to be around the time when you all need to find a place to, kind of stop for the night and set up camp, which is when Snow, with your 20, you start to hear some growling around in the bushes kind of surrounding the path that you all are on.
I would call attention to that and kind of yell out to the group, guys, I'm hearing growling. This, should we, like, find shelter, or, like, something might go wrong here? I kind of, like, look around helplessly, like, what do we do, guys? There's definitely growling. We need to do something.
All right. Jerome would like to pull out his hidden bow and draw it back in preparation for the clearly incoming attack that's about to happen.
Alrighty.
Yeah, Leaf sitting there.
I think Leaf would just, like, grip his quarterstaff and he'd be like, I'm sure that whatever it is, there's enough of us that we'll be fine. Let's just keep moving, but pay attention.
Mogan also gets closer to the group in more of, like, a protection mode.
Before anything else happens, Jerome pokes his head down to more formally address the passengers in the carriage. And is like, hey, might be about to go through some stuff. Y'all stay in the carriage. We'll take care of things, all right? Don't you worry your pretty little heads. We'll take care of things. Just stay in the carriage, all right?
The little kid goes, okay!
I would die for this child.
We need to protect this child.
Jerome gives a quick grin and then pops back up on.
Okay, so you all are still continuing moving. You're just all prepared for an attack?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you continue to move along, and the growling gets a bit louder where you, like, you all are starting to be able to hear it. But nothing ever comes out of the brush, and after traveling for a bit longer than you normally would in order to set up camp, the growling gradually fades until it is quiet once more.
Sus.
All right, well, a false alarm, I guess, there, guys.
That was odd.
Mm-hmm.
That leads me to think we should probably be kind of careful when we do set up camp and, like, make sure there's people watching.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Set up a watch shift.
Liara says, so should we pull aside then for the night? You think this is a good spot? Should we keep going? It's getting kind of late. I've been driving for many hours.
How are the horses looking?
They're looking pretty tired. They're going a lot slower. They're just like clip, clop, clip, clop.
I don't give a shit about the driver. He's useless. But the horses.
We care about the animals.
Gotta pull aside for the horses. So Jerome hops down from the top of the carriage. And what is like, all right.
We went top of the carriage the whole time.
I plead the 5e. Won't have to answer you.
I don't think that's how that works. What the? He's like grumbling.
That's definitely how it works. Let's set up camp.
Grumbling to himself, looking even more pissed off at you.
Jerome sets up the tent on top of the carriage.
Nice.
You
it's a very, very shitty. It's not even setting up the tent. It's putting a blanket.
Once everyone kind of sets up their tents, I'll sort of like call Jerome and Snow over, and I'll say, since there was that strange growling in the brush, I don't really think that we're entirely safe out here. Perhaps it would be beneficial for us to find a spot to keep the horses moored properly so they can't run away from us. Perhaps, Jerome, you are good at tying ropes. I don't know what. You seem like a dexterous kind of fellow, might I say.
You seem like possibly a high dexterity score.
High dexterity. You did a backflip on a carriage. I think you can tie a knot.
What can I say? You got me pinned. Yeah, I can give it a go. I can give it a go. I'll make sure the horses are tied up real good.
I can help you with them. I can help you find a place for them.
So I lead the horses over there and kind of look at Jerome and I'm like, hey, can you tie them up, please?
You got it. So Jerome pulls out some rope and then does a fancy knot with 19. We call this one in the business of tying knots the old secure.
it's a beautiful knot. God. Thank you. Thank you for the help, Jerome.
My pleasure. Always happy to tie a good old knot with the old secure. Gotten me through many a situation.
I was gonna say while was it Jerome and Snow were doing that, I want Mogan to like approach Vay and be like, well, one of us has to stay up, and clearly I'm the only one that can protect the group. You all look
like
me.
You seem so capable. I will entrust my life in your hands readily. So, are you taking first watch then? Is that you saying that you're going to take the first watch, and I should organize the rest of them, since you seem incapable of communicating properly with others?
Kind of like looks at her curiously, like, what does that even mean? Yeah, I'll take the first watch.
Lovely. Well, I'll go communicate with the rest. You stay here and just look tough. And I'll walk away and sort of rejoin with the others. I'll go to where Jerome, Leaf, and Carius, where they are, and I'll be like, well, it looks like our dear friend Mogan over there has decided to take first watch so he can protect us all with his ginormous muscles. So,
and from the distance here, Mogan go, and my halberd.
Oh, and his halberd. So I could take the last two, since I only require 4 hours of sleep due to it's an elvish thing. I could take the last two if someone would like to join, or I don't know.
I can.
Before we proceed with assigning the watches, I gotta ask. We all got dark vision? Who here don't have dark vision?
Yes.
Yeah, we all.
Hey, Mogan, you got dark vision?
Yeah.
All right. That's all I had to ask.
Very valid point. Well, I will go to sleep then. And well, not really sleep. I'll sort of sit there and trance. But the rest of you guys can organize your watches as you'd like.
I'll offer to take the part of the last watch as well. I'll sit with Faye at the very end.
Carius, Leaf, you two seem pretty well acquainted. You probably want to do a watch together, am I right?
I wouldn't mind.
All right, so would you two like to take the second watch and I'll stay up with Big Dark and Broody over there?
Sure. Sounds good to me.
All right. We solid. So I guess the watch schedule goes Jerome and Mogan for the first 2 hours, and then Curious and Leaf for the next two, and then Vay and Snow for the last four.
Vay for the third, and then Vay and Snow for the last two.
Vay, I don't know if you can hear me with you being like that. I'll take on. Hi Snow. I'll help take on the third watch. I can just nap on the top of the carriage tomorrow if I can sneak back up there again. It's fine. I'll just have a shorter rest tonight and then just sleep a little more on the carriage tomorrow. It's fine.
Are you sure, Jerome?
Yeah, it's no worries. I can't just
take one by myself. Like, this is Alex saying it, not Vay, but like I can do one by myself. It's just
Jerome would not be comfortable with somebody just being on watch alone.
Well, we will do our best to ensure that the driver's distracted tomorrow so you can get a rest up there.
Nah, I appreciate it, Snow. You're a real one, Snow. 10 out of 10.
You're a real one.
Thank you. I do believe I am real. Thank you.
And with that, Jerome goes back outside and goes up to Mogan, who's like, looks like it's you and me on watch for the first shift tonight, buddy.
Great.
Now, I'll give you two options. Either I can stay here and chatter your ear off to keep you awake and keep us hopping and moving, or you think you can stay awake, I can just crawl up on top of that carriage and not talk to you, because you seem like the kind of person who would probably take my head off if I talked for a little too. So, option one, option two?
He kind of contemplates it for a second. I don't care. Option one.
So the talking one. You cool with the talking thing?
Sure, as long as I don't have to talk back.
Great, that's my favorite kind of audience.
I love him.
Jerome spends the first shift with Mogan, just chattering on mindlessly about his travels, the surroundings, just everything and literally nothing. Very shallow conversation.
And nothing happens during your watch.
Right. Mogan just stands up in the middle of Trump talking and just walks away.
There's a lot of that in this group. Dynamic.
Good talk, buddy. You've had a good time. Wonderful shift. Pleasure working with you. Do it again some other day. Maybe. I don't know. And then, since Mogan doesn't seem to be particularly interested in interacting with the party at all, Jerome goes to wake up Carius and Leaf for the shift. Had a pretty quiet night so far. Jerome, that's me. I'm Jerome.
I remember.
I ain't seen nothing.
Really?
I'll be honest, I wasn't paying the best attention, but Mogan, big, tall, and broody over there, he had his eyes peeled the entire time, even as I was chattering away. I don't think he paid attention to a word I said, but that's okay. He didn't need to. Pretty clear night so far. I'll leave it to you two. I'm going to go get some snoozes on top of the carriage. If you need anything, just give a holler.
Leaf. Yeah, I guess they both get up and they head out of their tents and they hang out. try and keep an eye out. But since Jerome said everything seemed pretty okay, I feel like Leaf would be pretty chill about it. We'd mostly just be chatting.
I feel like maybe they talk about like everything that happened that day. Carius is definitely sitting in a tree as a side note. Just like chilling.
Just hanging out.
As he does, you know.
As he does.
Alright, both of you roll perception for me.
Perception.
Wait, before we get into this, quick question.
With the French.
What's the noble family been doing?
Sleeping.
Are they just sleeping in the carriage?
Yeah.
Yes. So I got 16.
Okay.
I got 4, so my tree does not give me good sight at all.
You think you have a better view?
Just very distracted with the wood grain.
Yeah, Carius, there. You, while you're up there trying to keep a lookout, you discover a sleeping squirrel on one of the branches, and so you get very enamored with watching this sleeping squirrel because he's so cute with his whittle ears and his curled up tail.
That tracks.
Leaf, you're able to keep a pretty good eye and ear out. And as a result, you start hearing smaller noises around the brush. It's kind of hard to tell, like, what they are to, because they're just, like, the occasional little, like, sound of something moving in the brush. So it could be danger, or it could just be, like, an animal in the woods that's moving around at night.
So I'll make that clear to Carius right away. I'll be like, so I think you should, first of all, stop being distracted by that squirrel and get down from the tree, because I'm definitely hearing things. I can't tell you whether it's an enemy or not, but there's something near us right now.
Well, we don't both want to wander off from camp in search of whatever this sound is, so since I'm clearly not being a very good lookout, maybe I can take a look around, see if I can see anything.
Just please be safe. Please don't get distracted by any more animals.
I won't. I'll stay within earshot since you can hear it. So okay. You'll hear me if I start screaming.
Sounds good.
So Carius starts looking around in the nearby bushes and trees, trying to see if there's anything suspect around.
What's your passive perception, Kian?
13.
Got it. So you're looking around, trying to investigate. You also start hearing a little bit of the sound of something moving. So you kind of like go towards it a little bit to try to find something. When you are grabbed from behind with a hand going over your mouth.
No! Carius, no!
Well, he definitely shouts, but he's probably not very loud.
Yeah, you're muffled by the hand. So right now you are being grappled, and so you can have, basically we're going to do like a battle of strength. You need to roll a strength or an athletics or acrobatics check to see if you can get out of the hold that you are currently being held in.
I got an 8.
Unfortunately, you are wrestled to the ground. You are now grappled. And while you are being held down, mouth still covered, you can feel someone starting to tie your wrists behind your back and take your druidic focus out of your hands. And we're just going to leave you there for a minute. You're in the midst of dealing with that. Meanwhile, like can camp. What's up?
Can I leave? I feel would go and wake up Jerome also to inform him that he has a very bad feeling. And also just because with Carrie wandering away, he feels less safe being by himself.
Oh. So Jerome, you were awake for an extra 2 hours after all of the traveling, and now you've gotten about 20 minutes of sleep before you've been woken up yet again.
Hey, Anoa said if you need anything, you can give me a holler, but I don't think it's been that long.
Well, unfortunately for you, I started hearing sounds, and Carrie wandered away to investigate. And I am not hearing him anymore, so I need an extra person to come help me look around, like, right now.
Oh, I mean, I'll do my best. Oh, that's not good. give me 2 seconds. And with that, he gives himself a hard slap on the face.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I'm awake. Okay. We're good.
Do you think we should wake up anyone else?
Let's wake up the big fella. He seems like the type of person who would love to go charging into things with reckless abandon. So Jerome approaches Mogan's tent and like sort of like gently kicks at his foot. Oi, big fella. Something's happening. Maybe. Hop up. We got action. Maybe.
When he gets kicked in the foot, he kind of like rolls his whole body over, looks up, and goes, "Did you just kick me?"
I'd say it was more of a gentle nudge with the foot, but it wasn't in any sort of malicious sort of way. I was just like getting you up, you know, like when you nudge your buddy and you're like, hey, buddy, it's time to get up. It was like that, but with your foot, you know.
Yeah.
Please
yeah,
don't
yeah.
kill me.
What's happening?
Carius went to look for something, but he hasn't come back. So, yous and I's are gonna help old Leaf over here and see what's up.
He huffs and just stands up, puts his belt back on, and goes, "Are you talking about one of those little people?
The horny ones, you know, with the horns."
Right. Hesitation. Mogan just pulls both of his battle axes and goes, "Okay, let's go." Just walks off. Didn't ask which one.
So hang on. He just chooses a direction. I want you to roll me a D8.
No.
Kian, you also hang on just real quick. Kian, you also roll a D8 and tell me what numbers y'all choose.
I got a 5.
Okay.
And an 8.
Okay, So, Mogan goes straight north, whereas Carius had gone off in like the southwestern direction, and Mogan's just going. He's going.
Rome just looks and lets out a sigh. It's like runs his hand back over his head and scratches at the back of it.
And Mogan's gonna like turn, realize no one followed him, and is like, "What is happening?"
Mogan, buddy, maybe we should ask Leaf here which way Carius went.
We're supposed to be going the opposite way, big guy. He went this way.
Why the fuck didn't you tell me that?
you didn't really give me any time to explain. I appreciate you being so ready for action, but we gotta communicate these things.
Gotta talk things through, big guy.
Little person, just lead me in the right direction then.
All right,
not even that much shorter. Leaf starts walking off in the direction that he saw Carius leave in, and beckons him to follow.
All right, Leaf, since you're heading that way, you want me to stay back at the camp and keep an eye out just in case it's a ambush sort of deal where you lower people away one by one and keep them tied up and captured until eventually there's enough people that they can just descend en masse and take over the camp, you know? You want me to keep an eye out for that? Because I can do that. I'm very good at that.
That was so specific. Yeah, good point. I'm sure me and the big guy will be able to handle this.
All right, between the two of you, you should be able to yell out in case it's that sort of picking off flies one by one sort of deal. So just give me a holler or be back within, shout in within 2 minutes if you do or don't find anything. If I don't hear a shout, I'm waking everyone up.
All right, sounds like a plan. And then Leaf takes out his quarterstaff just to be ready in case anything happens as they walk.
Yeah, Falcon already has his two hand axes out.
Okay, so Lady, roll me a perception check since you are actively trying to see if anything happens while you're waiting at camp.
Oh, it's a 16. That's not bad.
All right, I will keep that in mind, but for right now we will focus on Mogan and Leaf. Okay, so you all travel in the direction that you saw Carius go, and you are traveling for maybe 2 minutes, like kind of carefully looking around. Are you calling at all, or are you just like silently looking?
Mogan doesn't know his name, so he can't really call out to him. Because Mogan doesn't want to learn his name.
He can call for Horny Boy.
I'm gonna go, "Little man with the horns! Are you out here?"
Carius being kidnapped. Is silently taking offense.
Alright, can Jerome hear the calls that at the camp?
Yeah, they're not too far away, so you could just hear like a distant, "Hey, you with the horns! Hey, are you here?"
He feels reassured that he can still hear them and doesn't wake up anyone else.
So you all are kind of walking around, Mogan's trudging, calling out, and then at one point there is a quiet and an arrow sticks into the tree about a foot to Mogan's side.
Can we look and see where it came from? Like, who shot it?
Yeah, you can look into the direction. There's a lot of very thick brush, so it's hard to see through the leaves, but you can determine what direction the arrow came from.
Mogan is dumb.
he's going to find that direction and he's just going to full on go.
He starts. Oh my God. Like,
rushes in.
Alrighty. Yeah. Okay. So he just charges.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he let out a battle cry.
Leaf is just like, damn it, Mogan.
Wait, can Jerome hear any sort of scuffling happening? Or any sort of shouting?
Does Mogan let out a shout at all?
Sure.
Then yes, you hear whatever Mogan's battle cry is. You can like hear it like moving directions within the forest because he's just barreling while yelling.
Hearing that, Jerome's like, hello, he goes up to Snow and Vay's areas and is like, hey, Snow, Vay, we got trouble coming in. Wake up.
Hello.
Stand up. Oh,
my eyes just sort of like open as soon as you like walk in.
Trouble coming in. Paris is missing.
Okay.
Mogan and Leaf are investigating. Mogan just shouted out some combat.
You still hear?
You might be able to still hear.
You still hear Mogan in the background going.
I'll put on my leather armor and get up and start following Jerome.
So we gotta cover the camp. We gotta cover Leaf and Mogan.
Alrighty,
we got combat happening over there, but still have an ambush happening right here. What we do? How we split?
Before anything, I want to cast guidance on myself, Zan, which is just an additional D4 for any ability check of mine.
Sounds good.
Mm. It lasts for a minute, I think. Right?
Yeah,
yeah. And I will cast. Are there any lanterns around here?
There's probably one hanging off of the
I'm gonna cast Mage Hand. And the lantern is gonna, and it's gonna grab the lantern and it's gonna carry it about 5-10 feet away from us. And I'll try and stealth as we go through the forest.
Jerome is concerned about the rest of the party, yes, but also knows that he was hired for a job to do to guard the carriage. And so he's like, all right, if you two are gonna go, catch up with Mogan and Leaf, I'll stay by the carriage and keep watch.
Jerome, I will stay with you.
I will go into the forest alone, unfortunately.
Be safe.
You'll be able to find where they are. You can still hear Mogan yelling.
You stay here, Snow, and cover Jerome's back. Jerome, same thing.
Yes, sir.
I will take off into the forest where I heard the shouts from, stealthing and trying to use the lantern to sort of like distract where I actually am.
Okay.
Jerome hops up on top of the carriage and like actually stealths and makes an effort to blend in.
Okay. You're fine with that. For Alex, did you want to roll for stealth to keep up speed, or did you want to take 20 but you go slower?
I'll take 20 but go slower.
Okay.
I still have some self-preservation. I just met these people.
Very fair.
Yep.
Okay.
Can I do an immediate perception to see if anything is immediately coming into the camp?
Yes.
Does my 16 from earlier still carry over?
That's like a 26. So.
What the fuck? Okay.
So what do your elf eyes see?
Oh. Okay, so we'll pause within the camp, but I will keep in mind that we have a 26 perception. Keep in watch.
Killing it. Gotta love that guidance. Gotta love that guidance, man.
Okay, so meanwhile in the forest, Mogan, you are just running. You're just kind of like running, so I'm just going to use your passive perception. What's your passive perception?
11.
So you're running.
Mm-hmm.
You're ready. You're swinging. You're getting ready. As you're running in this one direction, there is another arrow that flies at you. Let me see if it hits you. What's your AC?
15.
So there's another arrow that goes whizzing by, and it just barely like passes in front of you without hitting you, and it goes whizzing like into the brush to your left. So you know that the arrow came from the right side.
He's changing directions.
Is he like full on sprinting?
No, probably not full on sprinting, but he's tracking pretty fast.
Because you're running really fast, you probably get ahead like several feet, and as you're like trying to slow down enough to turn like 90 degrees, and then you turn and go in what you assume is like the approximate direction. You are deep in the brush, It's hard to tell where the original camp was because you've just been running through here. Yeah. Roll a survival check for me because you are running through deep brush.
18.
So yeah, you're able to still jump around pretty good and not get tripped over anything. I'm trying to decide if we should be in official initiative because you all are so scattered. I'll say that we should all roll initiative. So roll cool. initiative.
It's time.
Myself included.
Yeah, D20 plus your dex.
Yeah, I might not. We might skip over your turn a couple of times since you're not in the actual battle.
Should we just put our initiative in the chat so we're not like all talking over each other?
I would love that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Watch, the bad guys got like a 20 initiative and we're all just going to get murked immediately.
So because Mogan's already at the top, I'll say that his like turning and whatnot to try to find them will be like his first action. So Mogan, roll a perception for me to see if you can spot the person that shot the arrow.
You said a perception. So I got a 21,
22. Oh, damn. Okay. So you are getting really used to these woods after running through. Your eyes are adjusted. You got some sleep. And you are able to spot one guy in a cloak that is like half perched up on a tree. He's like up on the lower branches, but still close enough that he can jump down from the tree pretty easily. And he has a bow that is drawn. And so you spot him and he's maybe like 30 feet ahead of you. I'll say that you still have your movement and actions.
So I would probably run up to the tree and use my full movement. And how high would it be from the ground to where he is on the branch?
Probably like your height. Like if you reached up with your hand, you would be able to like grab at his ankle. That's about how low he is in the tree.
So could I swing at him with my axe then?
Yeah.
That would be... I got a 9.
All right, so you swing up at this guy, but he is able to hop back to a different branch. So you cleave through that branch real nicely, but you do not actually hit him. So next is Leaf.
So at this point, I'm just by myself, right? Like, I'm just...
Yeah, because Mogan just took off.
I think I'm just going to... Yeah, I think I'm just going to stay there so that the others can find me a bit easier, since I know, like, Jerome was keeping an ear out. And I'm just going to continue to have my Eldritch Blast ready. So I'm just going to stand there and be ready to fight, basically.
And for reference for what I'm picturing in my mind, so everybody kind of, like, knows, I'm imagining that you all are maybe, like, 100, 150 feet away from camp, so you're kind of deeper into the brush, and then that's where Leaf is, and then Mogan is maybe like 70, 75 feet away from that, because just like hard running through the forest. And then Vay has just entered the forest and is moving at about half speed to keep stealthy. Okay, so you prep that. Carius, yes. We're skipping you for a minute.
All right.
You're preoccupied somewhere in that forest.
All tied up.
Jerome, it is your turn. Do you want to just hold with your attack action if anything happens?
Yeah, no, I'm going to prepare a regular arrow with my short bow. And then the first non-familiar thing that I see is getting straight between the eyes.
Gotcha.
And then I'm also... I'm still staying up on top of the carriage, keeping an eye out.
Okay. Next up is Vay.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, then I think I'm going to do the 30 speed with stealth checks.
Okay.
At advantage.
Roll a stealth for me, please.
Ooh, natural 19 with nice. A plus 1, so a dirty 20.
Nice.
You
are so stealthy. And so now, back at camp, before Snow can take a move, there is the whistle of an arrow. Or, wait, no, you got a 20, whatever.
You got a
lot of perception. So, Snow, you are able to see a couple of people in the brush, one of which has their bow drawn back right before they fire off an arrow.
So I see it, but I can't do anything about it?
Yeah, because their move comes before yours, but that just means that there's no... Well, there's no surprise on you.
Okay, I know where they are.
But there is a surprise on Jerome, because they are aiming at Jerome and not you.
Shit, am I able to, like, nudge him or anything?
You can call out. You can be like, Jerome! But then it's...
Jerome, knock!
What's your AC, lady?
14.
I'll say just because, like, you notice and you would have been able to call out that they don't get their advantage for it being a surprise attack. So they fire the arrow and it misses Jerome, landing instead in the side of the carriage. So now you know that there are two people. One of them has a bow. You can't, you don't see a bow in the other one's hand, but it's hard to see a, in the brush. But you know that there are two people on the edge of camp. So now it is.
Can I use my prepared action?
Yes.
I'm going to shoot at the one that shot at me. Does a 5 hit?
Unfortunately not. You're startled by Snow yelling your name. Then there's an arrow shot at you. So you just like let it go. And it flies out of your bow and lands in the ground. Snow, it is your turn.
Okay, so I know exactly where they are, yeah?
Yes.
Cool. So I'm going to guiding bolt on the one that shot at Jerome. Oh, nat 20.
Ooh.
Oh.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Okay. So that is 10, 15, so 32.
Damage?
32 Horrible. Damage, yeah.
Horrible high five.
Okay.
So that also will give Jerome's next attack will have advantage from that as well. And it's radiant damage, by the way.
On the person that was hit by the guiding bolt.
Yeah, on the person.
Okay. Brain is trying to comprehend a level 1 doing that much damage.
Guiding bolt is insane. It's 4d6 for a first level spell.
Yeah. Holy crap.
It's busted.
And then doubled plus my wisdom. Yeah.
But that's insane, like a level spell and not a cantrip.
Yes.
That's a level spell, yeah.
Okay. That at least makes more sense because my brain was like, cantrip doing that much damage. There's no fucking way.
No. That's an actual level spell, yeah.
Okay. So this guy like shot off his arrow, missed. You clap, and the bolt immediately goes soaring. This guy, you see, like...
Can I specify how that spell worked?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. So I look over, and I see this person, and I hold my hand out, and from my veins, you see this light start to travel up my arm, and it shoots out and just dead center at the dude who shot, and just explodes on him.
Cool.
He's dead, Jim.
All right, so Jerome sees all this after like panicking a little bit at getting his failed shot off, looks over to Snow and gives a big old thumbs up and is like, good shooting.
Cool.
And then for my action, can I take a hide action?
No, because your action was the spell.
Oh, right.
So you're able to move, but you can't do an additional, like, hide.
Movement, can I just, like, kind of move to not be directly in front of these people?
Yeah.
Just so I'm, like, kind of out of shot a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, behind the carriage, maybe?
Mm-hmm. They're about, like...
How far away are the attackers?
Yeah, they're like, 20 feet into the brush.
Well, cool. Attacker.
So they're 20 feet away, like, a little bit into the brush. So, like, 15 away from the edge of the brush, 5 feet into the brush, 20 feet away total. Yeah, so this guy sees this lightning bolt coming at him. You see his eyes like glow with the blinding light that comes upon him. And then there's the flash of light and then he isn't there anymore. And his friend looks where his friend just was and then looks back at you.
Oh no! Fuck you, dude.
All right. So now, meanwhile in the forest, there was a guy on a branch.
All right.
And so he had moved away, and so now he is going to jump down from the tree and bolt in another direction. And that is going to be his move. So he is a run-in. So Mogan, it is now your turn. What do you want to do?
I'm just going to bolt right after him, I guess.
Okay. All right.
Fast as I can after him.
Yep. So you're keeping up pace with him because you both run the same speed.
Gotcha.
So you're getting further away from the cam, from the group. All right, Leaf, it is your turn.
Can I sense that there's anyone near me? Like, or can I roll perception for that? Or does my roll from earlier still count?
You can roll specifically to see if there's anyone nearby you that, especially if you're like looking for your friends again.
Oh, I got a 6 for perception.
You don't see. No,
I don't see anything.
You don't see anything. You're getting really freaked out, and it's making it very hard to notice actual things. Like you hear tiny movements, and you jump, and it's a squirrel, and you're like, "Curious, like that squirrel."
Oh, no. Here's my friend.
In the past tense.
Mm-hmm. Unless there's anything that you specifically want to do, or if you want to stay put, that will be the end of your turn.
Maybe I start taking like gradual steps back to the direction of camp.
Okay.
Rather than continuing to be here in the middle of the brush by myself.
Okay. So you can move half your movement towards the camp, so you can move 15 in camp's direction.
Sure.
Let's see, you were 50 feet away, now you're 35 feet away from they. Jerome, you just watched your new acquaintance obliterate a man.
So I did. So is there just the one guy left now?
Yes.
How's he looking?
Very freaked out, but not hurt, just very freaked out.
I am going to try to intimidate him. And I'm like, hey, buddy, friend over there got the light end of the deal. My buddy here, she can pop off those things like they're freaking pop rocks. You want to get blown up like your buddy? You want to go into non-existence? You can keep fighting us. But if I were you, and then I draw back my bow, not as like to prepare an action, but like as a show of intimidation, I'd surrender. You and your buddies failed this ambush. I saw it coming from miles away. You're dunzo either way, but you can be dunzo and live, or you can be dunzo and die. It's up to you. So I try to intimidate him.
Roll intimidation.
Do I have the advantage from Snow's attack with the...
It would have been against the person that Snow hit. Unless Zan is ruling that it's like because he's shitting his pants.
Yeah, I think because he's shitting his pants, cool. Lady still gets advantage in this intimidation.
Alright, so...
So good.
First roll is a 16. Second roll is 21.
Damn. Certainly scared shitless, yes. Indeed. They, it is your turn.
Wait, no, what happened?
It's not the dude's turn yet. He's scared shitless, but he can't do anything right now. But you certainly did scare the shit out of him. All right, Ooh. They.
Awesome. Doing the same thing, rolling for the stealth and using my lantern, going 30 feet still.
I'll say that you make it to Leaf within these 30 feet.
Leaf.
Me?
Hi. Where's the big guy?
He ran off in the other direction. He had an arrow shot at him and he just lost it.
Okay.
He's an idiot.
Oh yeah. I've written him off as dead already. Okay, idea.
Okay.
So we're gonna go back in the direction of camp. I have my lantern here to distract them. So we're gonna both be quiet as we go back and try and look for clues as we go.
Okay, but I think they have Carius. Carius went off first to go look for them and he hasn't come back.
Okay, well, since he's already gone with them, idea, we go back to camp, meet up with everybody, strength in numbers, then we go save the two idiots.
Fine.
Alrighty, let's go. We'll get Carius, I promise. He seemed like a He seemed like a nice guy. Let's go.
He can't die in session one. That's just not how D&D works. Meanwhile, back at camp, this man is scared shitless. He sees his friend get obliterated. He gets told that he is going to get killed if he doesn't surrender. Mm-hmm. And so he turns and books it. And while he's running, he produces a flame in his hand and just touches a branch as he's running, which which then catches the tree on fire, and that fire has begun to spread.
Oh my lord. Okay. Oh,
yes, a forest fire has begun. Snow, it is your turn.
How far away did he run?
He ran his 30 feet because he used a move, a spell. So he's 30 feet plus the 20 feet away, so 50 feet from you.
Sick. I'm going to use Told the Dead, which is a cantrip, so he has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Can I know the DC of the saving throw?
12.
Oh, barely got by with a 13. Meanwhile, with the other one that is being pursued by Mogan, the guy is still running and he's going to try to lose you, Mogan. And so then I am going to roll survival to see if he is good with not tripping and falling because you guys are running through a deep brush. And then if he does succeed that, I'm going to roll stealth for him to see how he hides. And then you're going to roll stealth or survival to see if you don't get tripped up in the forest. And then if you succeed, you're going to roll perception to see if you spot him. Okay, so let me first roll survival because he might fall flat on his face. Okay, so here's the thing. He falls flat onto his face because he got a one. So he's
damaged.
So he's running and he looks back at the completely wrong time. His foot gets caught under one of those like half surface tree roots. It gets caught under there and he just goes slam right into the ground. So Mogan, it's your turn.
So I'm rolling. You said a survival.
Yeah. So first survival to see if you get tripped up.
I got a 19.
Yeah, you're fine. So you're easily able to get up to this guy who is now prone on the ground.
This poor guy.
Yeah, this poor guy's about to fucking die.
This guy didn't even actually hurt anyone. He just shot a couple arrows and he's about to get just murdered.
Cleaved in two.
He's in the mist. Destroy him.
Looks to like go to swing his axe, but stops, grabs the dude around the neck and picks him up.
By, like, the back of the neck like a cat or the front of the neck like a strangle?
Like a strangle.
Okay.
He's going to pick him up. Who the hell are you? Where is my tiny horned friend?
Oh, that's cute!
He's struggling to breathe, so he, like, lets him go and drops him back on the ground.
He lands on his ass.
Now, I will have to do this again. And he takes his, like, his axe and like puts it near his throat but not on his throat or anything. He goes, I will repeat the question. Where is the horned boy?
Whoa. Listen, buddy, I don't know. We split into teams. I wasn't a part of that team. That was somebody else. I was just supposed to be here doing the running. I'm usually really good at running, and I think I sprained my ankle, and I don't know.
Do you know where they would be?
Somewhere in the forest. It wasn't very long. We didn't take him anywhere. We probably just hit him up in a tree somewhere. I don't know. I'm not a part of the team. I'm sorry.
Well, you're gonna help me find him. Oh, and he will not be released until you find him.
Okay.
Now, where to? My looks down at him. Person.
Hogan's great.
I don't know. He like looks around because he's like, maybe that direction? And he like points vaguely back in the direction that you all were coming from.
Okay. Let's go then. Pushes him forward with his axe. He's like, lead the way.
And the guy's like carefully moving, like hands kind of up, like.
So we're going to start traveling in that direction back towards, we'll say, camp.
Yeah. Leaf / Vay, do you guys want to take your actions together because you're both together? Yes. Or
so is Leaf going to be delayed till me then?
Yeah, if you guys want to take yours together.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm totally okay with that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably better so we don't get separated again.
Then
I
in...
just bolt and like leave you behind.
Absolutely out of here.
Then in that case, Carius, we finally get to check in with you, bud.
Hey!
Aww.
You're currently on the ground. You are gagged, and your hands are tied behind your back, and your ankles are tied together.
Fun.
You are currently stashed on the ground, kind of under some brush, and you know that there is another one of the guys, the guy that grabbed you, that is up in the tree above you with a bow and arrow, just kind of keeping watch.
Just kind of try and like get out the ropes normally, like with my hands, like I'm just like struggling.
You can use a dexterity check to try to get out of bound ropes.
That's a 5.
Unfortunately, they tied it real good. There's like four loops to it. It's really fancy.
That's one of Jerome's knots.
Yeah, it's something called the sturdy knot. It's really interesting.
They learned from the same knot person.
You can technically try to use your movement to like do the worm like away from where you are, but you will not be able to be super stealthy about it. You'll take disadvantage for being stealthy.
You know what? Fuck it. Let's do it.
Alrighty.
The situation can only get so much worse. What? I roll a stealth check.
Yeah. So you roll a d20 twice, and you take the lower number.
The lower number would be 8.
Alrighty, let me roll perception to see if your captor has noticed your poor worm abilities. Okay, so that's an 8. Alex, I forget, who wins if it's tied?
I think it's usually winner, tie goes to the attacker, so it's the person performing the action, I think.
Okay, so Carrie, you're able to get about half your distance away, like through the brush. You're just like, you're worming your way along the ground about 15 feet away.
Just worming so hard.
So good job, progress.
Cool.
Jerome, there is a forest fire that has been spreading.
Oh, right.
Now, when you say forest fire, it's been like, I don't know, 20 seconds, something like that. One guy could not have made that big of a forest fire in that time. I have babies barking. I apologize.
How dare you?
A pack of wild dogs has appeared from
our side.
Wildfires can move as fast as 14 miles per hour. I don't know what that... Hang on. Miles to feet? So that's 52,800 feet per hour. And then that's still about 15 feet a second.
Doesn't sound right. I trust your math.
The point is that the fire is spreading like a couple trees every like turn.
Okay, so Jerome cusses and looks over to Snow. Snow, you know any of that magic stuff that can help deal with the fire? Do you know if Bay knows any?
I don't think either of us have anything for this, unfortunately.
Shit. Jerome calls out to the driver to get up. Oi, gotta get moving. Got a forest fire on our hands. Jerome jumps from the top of the carriage and goes over to where the horses were saddled.
Mm-hmm.
Deftly, with skills that only he knows, with his experience with sturdy knots, pulls very slightly on the correct part to just make the knot fall apart. As one does with the sturdy knot.
Roll me animal handling to see if you can get the horses to the carriage without them running off because there's a fire and they are afraid.
All right. Does a 17 work?
Yes. Good job. Yes. So you are able to calm the horses enough to get them back over to the carriage, where the driver then begins to assemble the horses to the carriage.
I turn to Snow and I'm like, all right, I don't know how to deal with forest fires. I don't really know any of that magic stuff. And I don't really have any buckets of water. So I'm going to try and get the folks out of here. If you want to help with that, want to do something else, go after the guy, whatever. I'll focus on the carriage.
Next up is Vay and Leaf.
I'm going to move the lantern about, you said it was 50, how big was the bright light thing again?
I said 20, but let me actually double check.
Okay.
With how fast the fire is spreading, would Leaf and Vay be able to see that there's a fire?
Yeah, they can probably see the fire is beginning. Probably everyone can by this
Leaf,
point.
Leaf, there's a fire!
I didn't see that!
Oh my god!
What the hell is happening?
Oh, it's way more than I thought. It is bright light in a 30-foot radius, so that's a lot, and then dim light for an additional 30 feet.
Okay, my mage hand can go 30 feet, so I'll put it way far away from us.
Okay, so you're in dim light, not in bright light.
Yes, yes. So would we be able to do, like, stealthing and then look for Carius as we're doing stealth?
Yes.
Would that be perception or investigation?
Investigation, because you know what you're looking for.
Natural one. For a total of 6.
You're very bothered by that forest fire that is occurring.
Yeah.
You're like, we need to
leave.
That's
okay.
Yeah.
Because I got 18 plus 4.
So. Nice.
Yes.
Is that 22?
Yes.
Sweet.
Also roll both of you stealth.
Sweet. So with the advantage because the lantern?
Yes.
16.
Math thing in progress. 17.
Nice. I have good news and bad news.
Uh-oh.
So, the good news is you spot Carius as he is warming his way along. He enters the dim light radius and spots you all. Bad news is that the guy who is in the tree not too far away looks towards the lantern and then also sees you all in the dim light.
Shoot.
So you have been spotted, but you also have found your friend.
Do we still have our bonus action?
Yes.
Lovely. Exactly what I wanted to hear. I will cast Hex on that dude. Ooh. So it just happens. So I'm going to deal an extra 1d6 whenever I hit attack. So I get to choose an ability that he has disadvantage on.
Okay.
Would I be able to know what he would use to get down from the tree? Or to stay on the tree or something?
To stay on the tree would probably be Dex. Maybe like
it has to be a skill, not an ability.
Probably acrobatics to stay on the tree to like the kind of balance with it.
So what I'll do is as he spots us, I sort of like point my finger towards him and I say something in Abyssal. And then these two blood sort of tears sort of they trace down his cheeks and then as soon as they hit his neck, they create a ring around his neck and they just sort of like stick in there. And he now has disadvantage on acrobatic checks.
It's fucking creepy as hell.
for an hour. But this is concentration, so if he hits me, I will have to roll a concentration check. And that is all that I can do, I guess. Leaf, anything you want to do?
I am going to go and immediately start trying to untie Carius.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we can stop warming.
So you are able to get Carius untied, I would say.
Oh, thank fuck. Is that a fucking fire?
Yes! You idiot? What happened?
A lot of things! I think we have other things. I'll tell you later.
Fine. Let's deal with that guy in the tree first.
That sounds good. I would love to kill that guy in the tree.
Meanwhile, back at camp.
Immediately to kill.
So now with all of the commotion, the Fall family has stirred and the father steps out onto the steps of the carriage and says, "What in the world is going on? What the fire? Excuse what?"
Sir, there was a bunch of people attacked us. We've taken care of most of them. What would you like us to do?
Yes, get us away from the fire.
All right. I yell over at Jerome. Jerome, get the horses saddled up. I'll start grabbing everybody's stuff. And so, yeah, I just start grabbing everybody's stuff and packing things up as quick as I can.
At about that time, as well, there is another yell as another arrow comes flying in. So an arrow comes in and it hits the carriage close to the window, which makes Mr. Fall go from inside the carriage. And then you also see another person running up from the brush, which is going to engage with Snow. He has a sword on him and he is going to attack Snow.
Cool. I have an 18 armor class.
That's absurd.
No, it's so goofy. I love it.
All right, so he comes up and he swings his sword, which I assume you're wearing armor, clangs off of your armor.
Fuck yeah. Fuck you, dude.
Okay, cool. I guess I'll pull out my battle axe and try and hit him. I doubt an 8 hits, but we'll say it and ask anyway.
Unfortunately not.
No, I figured. Cool. So I just kind of swing and miss.
Yeah, he's able to like parry off your axe. Okay. Meanwhile, the man is very awkwardly guiding Mogan blindly through the woods. Not sure where he's going. When you both notice the fire that is spreading towards camp.
What in the Sam hell?
Who's Sam?
What did they do? Come on, let's meet up a little bit. We need to get back to my camp. I got to make sure that this stupid group isn't killing themselves.
So do you double speed in order to get back to camp?
Sure, yeah. We'll do that.
Next is Carius, unless, Carius, you want to also move your turn back to be with Vay and Leaf now?
That makes most sense to me.
So next is Jerome.
So we have two attackers, one that shot an arrow. Can I see the guy who shot an arrow?
Yes, he is a little bit up against the brush.
I'm going to go in on the guy who attacked Snow. I draw my rapier and leap down from the front of the carriage where I was hooking up the horses, or helping hook up the horses. There isn't really any leaping involved. There's just moving.
Yeah.
He's within 30 feet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just go to stab the fucker.
It's an 8.
A what?
Oh, an 8. God.
I swing and I miss and I say, fuck. I yell out up to the driver, stay there a little bit. We can deal with these guys. Don't worry about it.
If you're sure. Next is Vay, Leaf, and Carius, who are probably one round away from getting back to the camp.
Since he's already spotted us, I'm going to try and fire an Eldritch Blast. Natural 18 plus my, I think it's, yeah, plus my Charisma, which is, it'll hit 18 plus whatever. Okay, and then since I have Hex on him, it does an extra D6, so 11 points of damage. As Vay reaches up when she's casting Eldritch Blast, and this sort of, like, really gross, like, kind of amorphous blob of just, like, black goo just sort of, like, coagulates over her hand, and some of it, like, drips down, and, like, sort of, nasty. It's sort of this, like, browny reddish black goop. It's really gross, and she just sort of, like, you know how, like, Scarlet Witch, like, takes her, like, her magic and just, like, hucks it? Mm-hmm. And, like, throws it. It looks like that. She just, like, takes it and just, like, flings it towards the dude. And does him getting hit kind of unbalance him?
Yes. He gets unbalanced and he falls right out of the tree to the ground.
Lovely.
Does he take fall damage?
Yes.
Then she says, he's on the ground, get him! Can I wait until they attack to start running?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess I start heading towards him.
Okay.
Also with my Eldritch Blast at the ready, I suppose. Can I actually like hit him with it right now? Can I just shoot him?
If you want to.
21 to hit.
Okay. Yeah.
So I hit him.
Okay. Yeah. He has not moved from the ground, so you get him, yeah.
How do I roll damage?
if you wanna.
That is Eldritch four blade. Damage.
Cool. Ooh. You do four Ooh. Additional damage to the corpse, yeah. you didn't check if he was alive. You just ran up and fired. He was dead from the first one.
He's dead, Drew.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
So, I'm super sure he's
yeah,
dead.
you just further desecrated Lovely. A corpse, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
As soon as Leaf realizes, he like composes himself and he's like, you know, just making sure.
Oh, totally. Can I go over and search his body?
Yeah. In the midst of a fire? Yeah, yeah.
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 Of course.
Yeah.
I need stuff.
That is a 13.
Okay. You find his bow and a couple arrows. You find his he has a fanny pack that has a roll of mints and a picture, a sketched picture of a beloved dog, and you also find like two copper on him, and there you go.
Sort of, I'll toss the copper over to Carius here to make your spirits a little higher, and I'd burn the picture of the dog with Elvis Black before they see it. I just sort of, I use Eldritch Blast energies just to sort of like disintegrate it.
Oh my god.
Do you think you could like figure out what's going on at camp with the fires now?
Oh yeah. Of course. You guys could have already left. I'm totally fine by myself. And we start running.
Jerome and Snow are both fighting the melee guy that came up, right? Now, Mr. Bowman is going to come running up, and he pulls a dagger from his belt, and he runs up. So it was situated where it was like the carriage, and then y'all were on one side, and then the other guys came from the other side of the carriage, and the first guy like went around to attack Snow. And cool. So this guy runs up to the other side of the carriage and like flings open the door. Dagger at the ready, and y'all hear Mrs. Fall like scream inside as this man like throws open the door with a knife. And then you hear the kids start to scream as well as the child is pulled from the mother's arms. The mother tries to reach for her child and gets sliced at with the dagger, and then the guy is running back in the opposite direction. And so he is about 15 feet away from the carriage, child in tow.
How far away from the carriage was the other guy?
He was like right up against the carriage. He's maybe like 5 feet away from it on the other side. So total, you guys are like 20 feet away from the guy with a carriage in the middle. So now it is Snow's turn. Wait, no. Okay. Hang on. There was a man with a sword.
No, there's a man with a sword.
he is going to attack the slightly less armored Jerome instead.
Of course.
I'm starting to think like my plan was not well thought out.
Nope, he missed. Okay. I'm not rolling well. Okay. He missed. So he swings his sword at Jerome and misses again. It's just a bunch of missing.
Very fortunate for me.
Misses happening. fire is raging. It's basically a big fire kind of just surrounding this little like alcove that you guys have parked in. So now it is Snow's turn.
Cool. I'm going to move to flank Jerome, giving both of us advantage on attacks. And yeah, I'm just gonna once again, one-handed with my battle axe, try and slash the shit out of this dude again because he's starting to piss me off a little bit, quite honestly. So let's see how I do it. Does an 11 hit?
No.
Oh, I have to roll twice. Never mind. Okay, so that would have been a 16 then for me.
So yes, that does hit.
Dope. So that is 1d8.
Plus your strength.
Plus my strength. Dope. Let's hope this actually... 7 damage.
Okay. He's still alive. Next up is Mogan with the guy. If y'all keep moving at double speed, you will arrive at the burning camp for your turn. But that means that you won't be able to do anything, but you will get there.
I'll get there. Let's go.
Okay.
Wait, which direction are they coming from?
So they came in from about like the like west southwest ish area, but the guy is running to the north. So you guys are on the south end, and the guy with the kid is escaping to the north, and they are coming in from south southwest.
I saw the guy take off with the kid that I spent the day bonding with. I swear, and I go climb on top of the carriage.
That's going to give the guy an attack of opportunity because you're moving out of your square.
Can I retroactively take back my movement?
Sure.
I'm just going to go in on this guy with my rapier and try and get his ass, basically. So that's a 9, but I get to roll again.
It's an 11.
Nope.
Oh, lady. Oh, no.
I have not rolled above a 7 this whole combat.
It happens.
But you rolled so well to get on top of the carriage.
All right, so you attack and you miss the guy, unfortunately. So, Vay and pals, hello.
Why, hello. Oh. Did we come to the clearing?
Now? Yeah.
Are we encountering the guy with the kid?
No, because you guys are also coming from like the south-southwest area.
So, I still, since it's not been like 2 rounds since I... since the person I killed with the hex died, I'm going to use my bonus action to move the hex to this new guy. So same thing happens, blood falls from his eyeballs and goes around his throat. So I'm going to also do another Eldritch Blast. Both of they're both past like 90 feet for range, so we're good for that. That is a natural 19. So I think that one's going to hit.
Yes.
Rolling damage. That's another 11.
All right, all right.
Woo.
You certainly do a lot of damage to him, but this one does not drop yet.
Yeah, I'll turn to the others and be like, kill him, he has the kid!
I do have a short bow. I can make a ranged attack, so I try and hit him with my short bow.
Do be careful, because there is a child. I think that if there's, like, close combat, like, if you're firing a ranged weapon into close combat where you don't want to hit one of the people, I think you have disadvantage or something. Let me double check. Aha! Okay, so that's a 3.5 rule, so it's not a 5e. So you're good.
It was a 15.
All right, the man goes down.
Yay!
Woo! We saved the kid!
Yay!
Thank goodness. I'm gonna start running in that direction to go grab the kid before... another one pops up or something. I will not attack a corpse again. I will just head straight for the kid.
Make sure he's dead.
Mr. Sword is still there, right?
Yep. Snow and I have been playing patty cake with him.
He is going to see his friend go down. And then let me roll to see what exactly he's going to do here. Okay. So, Sword... Okay. Sword dude sees that his pal was just moitered, and he looks back, and he drops his sword and puts his hands up. And he's like, okay, bad idea, I surrender, okay, yeah, no need to murder me, I'll go to, it's cool, we're cool.
I'm gonna real quick call out to Vay. Do we keep him or do we kill him?
Keep him.
Oh.
Yeah. Please just.
Very, very sadly, yeah, I'm like, oh, fine.
He can be useful.
At about this point, Mrs. Falls like comes running out of the carriage to go over to Leaf to get her child, who is thoroughly freaked out and crying about this whole endeavor. She scoops him up and is like holding him and is trying to assure him, while she then very quickly heads back to the carriage because, and I can't stress this enough, the forest is on fire.
The forest is on fire.
Exactly. Let's go. Okay, so the driver calls out to y'all and it's like, Y'all better keep up now because the fire's getting pretty close and I ain't slowing down for nothing. So let's get a move on.
I'm gonna sling myself beside him on the driver's seat where I was before.
All right. Is anyone else going to try to hop on? Otherwise, he's taken off.
Jerome,
get on the little steps like I was before, sitting on the little steps under the door.
No, Logan's just gonna follow behind.
Well, if nobody else is gonna hop onto the carriage, then the guy's going to take off. So Jerome, Vay, Snow, and was that it?
I think I also hopped on.
Okay, and Leaf.
You didn't hear me?
Yeah, I did not. All of you roll acrobatics to make sure that you stay balanced on here. And then everyone else who is not on the cart roll survival to try and keep up with the cart as it is hurriedly going through the forest.
I got a 17 acrobatics.
19.
Okay.
15.
14.
Okay, you guys are fine staying on the carriage.
Yay!
I got a 16 for survival.
Okay.
Oh my god, I got a 5.
Oh.
Oh, Logan, no!
Logan, no.
Okay, okay. Okay, so that was everyone, right? So, the carriage gets on a move-in, and it's traveling pretty quickly for about 15 minutes, and everyone's kind of able to keep up, and you finally get away from the forest. You get into more of, like, an open valley area along the path, and so then you kind of, like, start to slow down once you're enough away from the forest that the fire isn't really threatening you anymore. And the driver kind of, like, leans back and is like, oh my goodness. So now, does anybody notice that Mogan is not with you?
I was probably running near him, so I probably would have noticed. Yeah, I think he, like, slows down, and he's, like, panting, and then he looks around to, like, check to make sure everyone's good, and then he, like, is like, we're missing someone!
Critically Chaotic is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast brought to you by the following people. The DM is Zand, who can be found at Zandir on all platforms. Vey is played by Alex, who simply cannot be found. Snow is played by Bean, aka Alexa, who can be found in a variety of ways, but mainly at Alexandra_Jaden on Twitter. Carius is played by Kian, who can be found as at LostFanboy on most platforms. Jerome is played by Lady, who writes, quote, "And that's all you get, you dirty gremlins." Mogan is played by Queen, and chooses not to be located at this time, or ever. Leaf is played by Sayla, also known as Strawberry online, who can be found at _strawberrymilk on Twitter. The theme song is Melody by Emery. If you would like to support Critically Chaotic, please consider leaving a 5-star review and following us on whatever podcast listening platform you are currently using. You can find us at CritChaoticPod on Twitter with no underscores, where we post updates and retweet fan content. For any other platforms you would like to find us on, please look in the description. We will see you next week for the continuing adventures of this nameless adventuring party. Have a great week, everyone.
Why am I so nervous?
Right?
Because it's new.
It's the first session. You gotta put on a show. Gotta make sure that people know that you're cool.